Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Tuesday to you, everybody. Trash Tuesday. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. On a Trash Tuesday, who or what are you trashing? Hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll begin reading those this hour. We'll get to our trashes coming up in 20 minutes from now. On Twitter, tweet at me, DA on CBS. Follow me and tweet at me there, DA on CBS. Our trash is in 20. In 40 minutes, did a Bulls rookie just cost himself his job by calling out his head coach? Also, one of the coolest stories in college sports recently has been that of St. Thomas. A Division III powerhouse in Minnesota has been so thoroughly dominant, its conference said, hey, you got to get out of here. You're just kicking everybody's tails for years. You got to move up. And so instead of moving to a different league in the Division III or maybe going up to Division II, they decided to make the jump all the way up to Division I in one off season. So St. Thomas's AD, Phil Esten, is going to join us a little over an hour from now. But this hour, we begin with Antonio Brown. As AB takes to Twitter yesterday and seems to suggest that he is retiring. Now, we've heard of this song and dance before from AB, but yesterday he tweeted, "It is time to walk away. I done everything in the game at this point. The risk is greater than the reward. Thank you, everyone who has been part of this journey. I sincerely thank you for everything. Life goes on, 84. I came, I saw, I conquered. Mission complete. Call God." This is what is amazing to me. Antonio Brown is 32 years old. He has had a phenomenal career already, and he would have had way more good football. And yet, he has crashed and burned and spun himself into an insane top and spun himself perhaps out of the league. I mean, if you really look at his numbers, Antonio Brown's final 6 years, every single one of his final six seasons, let's not call last season a season because he only played in one game for the Patriots. Final 6 years, minimum 120 catch or 100 catches for 1,200 yards. His numbers over those 6 years are incredibly productive. And he finished those 6 years at the age of 30. six consecutive 100-catch, 1,200-yard seasons. And then over the last 2 years at age 31, he freezes his feet off, forces his way out of town into Oakland, forces his way out of town there, ends up in New England, plays a game, the bleep hits the fan, and he's out of there as well. And by 32 years old, can't get a job. Here are his catch numbers from 2014 through 2018. 129, 136, 106, 101, 104. Here's his yardage numbers in those years. 1499, 1698, 1834, 1284, 1533, 1297. The production is off the charts. Antonio Brown had 100 catches or more and 1,200 yards or more six consecutive seasons and then fell off the face of the earth at 31 years old. There was more good football left. Maybe this was the effect of his brain being scrambled by Vontaze Burfict in that playoff game. A lot of people point to that and say he was never the same. Maybe something else happened. But where he is mentally now and was over the last 18 months compared to his production over the six previous years is such an amazing drop-off. It's not like Antonio Brown was kind of losing it and kind of wasn't dependable on the football field and was there some of the time, but you had to kind of rally him and reel him in, and he was kind of slowly getting away or even went away over the last 3 years or so. He had six of the most productive seasons you could possibly have in a row and then forced his way out of Pittsburgh, froze his feet, was a disaster in Oakland before even playing a game, then ended up in New England, the bleep hit the fan, and never played football again. I mean, that's what this is going to be. Did he really retire yesterday? Who knows? He has threatened this before. The question would be, at 32 years old now and knowing what we know about Antonio Brown, would anybody bring him in? He might not have options. He might be staring at a week before a training camp opens up and nobody wants to give him a training camp invite, and so he says, I'm going to retire. That's absolutely in play. And if he doesn't play this year, and he barely played last year, what makes any of us think that he's going to suddenly be okay to play next year and why anybody would want him next year? The fact is that Antonio Brown might have gone from six Hall of Fame seasons to out of the league in the snap of a finger. Never to play again at 31 years old. And that's pretty incredible. That's pretty amazing. If it was 37, okay. At 31 years old, basically you wave a wand and he never played football again. Do we care if he's retired? I don't think so. Not really. Because even if he comes back, he's not going to be what Antonio Brown once was. Mentally, he's too far gone, and who knows where he is physically. Who knows what last year's toll took on him? Who knows what his body's going to respond with? Who knows? I think he is such a clown now that so many people don't care and won't ever care about anything AB ever again. And I don't blame them at all. I mean, there were certainly times last year where I was totally sick of talking about Antonio Brown also. But we don't ever see this. 6 years in your prime, Hall of Fame stats, and then poof, never to be seen from again. Unless you're Barry Sanders, and Barry actively walked away. He said, I don't want to do this anymore, and he's gone. But a guy that's still trying to kind of hang on, trying to have work, trying to find a job, 6 years, Hall of Fame type stats, in his prime, 30 years old, poof, never plays football again. Don't know if that's ever happened. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Meraz, do you think that Antonio Brown's actually retiring, or do you think that this is yet another stunt to try to gain some attention?
I think it's a stunt, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely about attention. I think that he spent this entire offseason working out with plenty of players, including Lamar Jackson. He was linked to the Seahawks. He was linked to the Ravens, and every team he was linked to, and who knows who was pumping out that publicity train. It might have been whatever agent he's hired now. I think inevitably he saw that there's not a lot of nibbles, and it's really not a climate right now where with enough going on and enough health protocols and enough trying to keep your team sane that you need to bring you need to bring Antonio Brown into your locker room. And I think by him saying I'm retiring, it's his own ego check way of trying to claim he's going out on his terms ahead of the acknowledgement, like, oh no, nobody's going to sign me again. And I think that's what he wants to do, because he doesn't want the book written that he kept trying and trying and trying and nobody would sign him. And then he looks like the desperate person that didn't have final say. And I think this is all about his ego here saying he's retiring.
I would agree. I think he wants to have some type of upper hand. He doesn't want to admit that nobody wants me. I agree with that. I also think your point on, in the middle of all of this going on in pandemic and what you're going to have to do to try to keep your team on the tracks, bringing in Antonio Brown seems less appetizing than ever.
Of course.
You know, you've got to really cross your fingers and pray every single night to the football gods that your team stays on the tracks, that your leaders are helping lead through difficult times. This is going to be kind of a crazy season. This is going to be a season unlike any other. And the last thing you need is crazy people around you. You could just imagine, like in quarantine, it's one thing to live amongst your family and try to work through that and try to stay sane and stable. Imagine just adding a crazy person to it. How impossible it is to live through your household if you just had a crazy person within those walls in the middle of all of this new stuff that you've got to navigate. So if this was last year, just spun it forward, a normal season, everything is normal, you know, maybe there's some bites for Antonio Brown. But as you said, man, this year, with everything you deal with coronavirus, et cetera, the last thing you want to do is deal with crazy people in the middle of your facility. It's just not worth it right now.
And not only his craziness, DA, but there needs to be a certain trust level, I think, with NFL players. And you're seeing this with the NBA snitch line in that, hey, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure we're safe and trying to keep the virus out of our locker room. The moment the game ends and Antonio Brown gets in his car and we're not playing a bubble situation in the NFL, do you think Antonio Brown is knowing the way he is, following any kind of guideline to keep him safe? Or do you think he's hanging out with whoever he wants, whenever he wants? And that's not a trust factor or something you need. I hate to paint the picture, but that is a potential, you know, positive test influx coming into your locker room. Just by the fact that, you know, the way Antonio Brown can live his life on the offseason, you don't need to be dealing with that if you're a GM.
Yeah, he's too much of a wild card. He's uncontrollable. He's unpredictable.
Yes.
And when everything else is unpredictable, you need the people inside your organization to be stable and predictable and consistent. And he's just none of those things. So the appetite's just not there right now for Antonio Brown. And who knows if he's really retired, but what a crash and burn for his career. By the way, on a Trash Tuesday, we want to read through your trashes on Twitter. And I have to say, I wanted to start by reading our listeners, the D-Aliens tweets, but I have to actually start with some inter-DA show warfare here on Twitter. So if we can cue the tweets, or at least cue the trashes, we tweeted out that it's Trash Tuesday, and Bogish, nearly an hour ago, he's on vacation this week, tweeted at us, "Good morning, DA. Big fan. I'm trashing Pete the Body for texting me about schedules yesterday at 5:15 a.m. while I'm on vacation. I'll hang up and listen. AB, we have to now trash Pete the Body."
That's a dumpster dive.
Now, Pete has responded in kind. Pete has tweeted, "I'm trashing Andrew Bogish for trashing me for answering a question of his. If he didn't have the phone on during his vacation playing George Kalinske, he would have gotten the text when he woke up. Go fish, get him out.
This so now, must be garbage time.
Now we got to trash Bogus in turn. Now Bogus responds on Twitter. You needed to answer the question I asked you on Friday at 5:15 a.m. on Monday. And Pete responded, truthfully, I try to avoid early texts like that, but some slip on accident in the moment. However, you are now up in the 6 o'clock hour, so don't act like you were dancing on clouds in dreamland when you got that message.
Ooh. That's fair.
Mraz,
I know
we
a thing
have,
or two about letting things slip on accident as well.
We have a bubbling situation here to play the juror or the jury. Who's in the right here? It sounds like Bogus asked Bilotti a question about scheduling on Friday, and Bilotti texted Bogus on Bogus's vacation, his day off at 5:15 a.m., but he thought that Bogus would get it when he turned on his phone and woke up, didn't think it would wake him up. Where do we stand?
All right, so I just real quickly need an answer out of Pete. Pete, what time did Bogus ask you a schedule question on Friday?
Oh,
this will help my answer.
It was during the day. It was during the day.
After you were off duty?
Well, we started when I was on duty, and it continued when I was off duty.
All right, so maybe that's irrelevant here. I would just say this, D.A., my personal theory is Pete is in the wrong for texting at 5:15 in the morning. However, I do think I can't give Pete a life sentence or even anything more than a fine here, because I do think Pete's defense argument of, well, Bogus does himself no favors when he's tweeting at 6 a.m. It's not as if he's all of a sudden waking up at 9 going, hey, thanks for that text at 5:15. Also, I have been a big-time proponent for years now. If you have these cell phones, unless you're some kind of hospital worker that's always on duty, I don't understand why anybody goes to bed with any kind of alerts on volume. And a 5:15 text should have no factor on your life until you wake up fully and see it. So I think Pete was in the wrong. He shouldn't be assuming the rest of the world is working and handling their business at 5:15. But ultimately, just a fine for me, DA. No jail time for Pete, because I do think he had a fair argument back.
Okay, where do we stand on this? You can tweet at me, DA on CBS, DA on CBS on a Trash Tuesday. When we come back, we'll do our trashes, the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Our friend, Ian Eagle.
DA, I thought this was a Zoom call. I showered for this.
Oh, sorry about that. No, somebody should have told you that we don't have that technology.
No, I completely misunderstood.
You want to do this again some other time?
Well, I bathe. I think I should be applauded for that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. How about John Rahm taking over the number one ranking of the world by capturing the Memorial on Sunday? His 9-under-75, enough to give him the first PGA Tour win of the 2020 season for him. It's his fourth career PGA Tour victory. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help. Supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. The DA Show, by the way, available on your smart speaker, so simply tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio every single morning. Get your day started with us. Have us on around the house. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Standing by with our headline this morning before we get to our Trash Tuesdays is our good friend and dessert coordinator, Brad Heller. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, DA. This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Chiefs and Texans rookies had to report for training camp yesterday. All other rookies report today. The NFL and the Players Association has finally agreed to the COVID-19 testing protocols every day for the first 2 weeks of camp. Players are also going to wear proximity recording devices during all team activities to help with contact tracing. And the league has also offered to scrap the preseason schedule entirely. It was 4, then 2 games, and the players have been pushing for none. Notable first-round picks to sign yesterday, the Falcons and Corner A.J. Terrell, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire with the Chiefs, and Mekhi Becton, the 6'7", 360-pound offensive lineman with the Jets. Also, the Jets and Giants announced no fans for their games at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey until further notice. No positive tests in the NBA bubble at Disney World in the last week out of 346 players. And if you want to know what life's really like at Disney, just ask Thunder Center Steven Adams.
Let's be clear, mate. This is not Syria, mate. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that hard. It's not that difficult, mate. You know what I mean? We're living in a bloody resort, you know. Everyone's got to complain. Everyone has their own preferences, mate. But, you know, it's not anything too serious. It's just a bit of dry food here and there, and get bored every now and then. But it's all good, man.
A resort with dry food, a little boring, as the NBA gets ready for these seeding games that start a week from Thursday. The rules in baseball summer camp exhibition games are a little different, or maybe there's no rules at all. Take the Yankees and Phillies last night in New York. Aaron Judge had a home run after there were three outs. So you can imagine the confusion in the booth.
And now the Phillies are coming off the field. Well, Judge is coming in. It was a home run, but the Phillies are coming in, so the home run doesn't end the inning. I'm sorry. I can't do any better than this.
John Sterling and Susan Waldman on the WMA.
What happened?
Radio Network.
What were they trying to describe?
It's very Velasquez, the pitcher for the Phillies, DA. They wanted him to get a certain number of pitches in, and he went through an inning 1-2-3 where he threw like 7 or 8 pitches. So they wanted him to face another batter since, you know, it doesn't count as preseason. So the next batter up for the Yankees was Aaron Judge. So it's a fake game. The Yankees said, okay, you want his pitches to get him, we'll throw up Judge here. And Judge hits a bomb off him, and Judge starts rounding the bases like it's a regular inning. So Sterling and them were so thrown off as to why, after three outs, there was any pitches being thrown and why Judge was batting. Not understanding, it's still an exhibition game, Topes.
That is so unfair to John and Susan. Look, they have a tough time calling baseball games with regular baseball rules instituted for the last 150 years. Now you're going to have them try to call a baseball game where there's four outs in an inning? Oh, forget it. Absolutely forget it. They've got no chance. They are sitting ducks on that one.
And the home run counted, by the way, in the actual score, which made it even more confusing.
Well, the fans thought it was a strikeout also.
Well, they were looking at the board like I was.
Well, that's their mistake.
Oh, my God. That is just cruel and unusual punishment for John and Susan. It's already a difficult challenge for them to follow a baseball game. Now you say we're going to just change the rules on them? Oh, forget it. They just...
The right-hand hitter from Colorado. I just lost his name. Is that terrible?
No chance. They absolutely stand no chance against that type of insurrection.
I wish someone would explain it to me.
Amazing. Judge, that was his third home run in two games, and it counted. Yankees and Phillies ended in a tie. Mookie Betts, a 3-run home run. The Dodgers blew out the Diamondbacks again.
Right, also, John and Susan have to call a tie. I mean, forget it. Talk about your brains just exploding and the entire...
Well, then the night before, and I'm sure we don't have the audio, but the night before, the Yankees had already won the game versus the Mets, but they continued to play the bottom of the ninth just to get more at bats. So that had to throw them off as well. I don't understand. The game's usually over.
And DJ LeMahieu played second base. He came out of the game, but then became the extra hitter to get extra at bats. So all kinds of chaos in this one.
David John makes long gone.
As far as I know, it's usually three outs in an inning and 9 innings. I don't know what is happening here.
How do you like that?
Somebody slipped LSD into my coffee before the game. That's the only question. I feel like I'm in Alice in Wonderland right now.
I love the nightlife, and I like to boogie.
Susan, is there four outs in this inning?
All right, let's bring you a Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz leads us off. Who are you trashing?
You know, DA, I have to trash suddenly the willy-nilliness that everybody has online with selling stuff on their own, not being a store, being basically their own person that sells stuff. And the reason it's really started to irk me is just Saturday afternoon, DA, I'm taking a nice calm dip. The baby is napping. I'm enjoying the pool. It's a beautiful afternoon. When suddenly my wife from the back of the window opens up the window, Sean! Somebody's stealing the stroller. Get out front. I had left the stroller out front because I got Taylor to nap in it, and I figured, whatever, I'll take her for another walk later. As it turns out, a woman pulls up in a van, walks right up to my patio, throws $20 in my mailbox, starts taking our stroller, which is like a $600 stroller, and is putting it in the back of a van. My dog Eli is going nuts. In the middle of this, Danielle is showering. So she comes out because she doesn't understand why Eli's going bonkers. I'm obviously in the backyard. And she sees this woman putting a stroller in the back. Danielle now, butt naked, mind you. I am not kidding. Towel falling down. Comes out onto our front porch. Topless, Danielle, for the world.
Oh, my.
This was some scene. Starts yelling, what are you doing? What are you doing? What? I don't understand what you're doing. The lady now sees Danielle. I mean, the whole neighborhood's got to be looking, what the heck's going on? She apparently, the long story shorter, longer, whatever. She purchased via Facebook Marketplace a stroller, a very used beat-up stroller from the following block, which has the same house number as us, and they were supposed to leave a stroller out, but she pulled up down the block, saw our stroller sitting in front, and it's the same house number, different block, and thought, oh, okay, this is the stroller, and then starts coming back, goes, oh, I thought this was a nicer stroller than we had. I left you the $20. We're so confused because she's looking through text messages.
Oh, my goodness.
Danielle's screaming at me because she came out, I'm topless on the front lawn because she was so worried that this lady was stealing the stroller. It was chaos in my house, and this whole thing could be avoided if we just stopped selling our own stuff online. Yes, and the only reason I backed Danielle up that she was topless, our Ring video later had it recorded, and she had to show me. Basically, yes, everything was out. The front court was out on the front lawn trying to get Taylor's stroller back. It was chaotic on Saturday here.
Trash people selling strollers on Facebook Marketplace.
Household waste goes in this bin.
I have to say, I don't know what your neighbors think of you guys since you've moved in. I mean, you have shaved your back hair on the front porch. You have also stiffed the Girl Scout that was trying to sell you cookies and candy bars. You have your wife topless screaming at people on your front porch. What could your neighbors think about you?
We do give the mailmen water bottles. So that's the only thing that's helping us right now. Outside of that, we have to be the biggest trash that has moved into this neighborhood in about 20 years.
How about also, I mean, the mafia that you had show up to install your pool? That,
oh, yes.
I mean,
drinking my seltzers, smoking cigarettes.
The shadiest dudes ever that just crushed all your Kona seltzers.
It is some scene here in Bayshore, New York. It is something else I never thought I'd imagine in almost a year. But topless Danielle saving the stroller, yes.
Wow. Well, not all heroes wear towels either.
I'm sure she'd love that you put that on the air.
All right, Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I am trashing the people that go to the beach and they decide to put their stuff immediately in front of you. The beach gets crowded, usually on a nice day, about 11, 12 o'clock, your local time. We try to get out early on the beach, and there's a lot of space, people keeping social distancing, and then there's this drunk trio that comes and puts their stuff right in front of us. No space, nothing, and look around like we're the ones that are creating a problem. Meanwhile, they're right on top of us. Give us some space. Get them out.
Get them out.
Illegal dumping.
The beach crowders. They come up and they crowd everybody on the beach.
That's right.
You're local
right.
time.
And that's Pete on the eights. Connor Green is in. He has a trash today. Connor, who are you trashing?
Trashing Rob Manfred because apparently Mike Ford of the Yankees had a home run last night that was measured on StatCast at 680 feet. So apparently Rob Manfred heard everybody complaining about juiced balls last year and said, you know what? No, what we need is more juice. And by the time he's done as commissioner, we might have home runs that are crossing state lines. Roy Hobbs in the natural couldn't even hit a ball 680 feet, and he had superpowers. I have to go check Mike Ford's bat and see if he has a little lightning bolt on it. Maybe he got struck by lightning. It's the most ridiculous thing. And it's possible that StatCast mismeasured it. But if not, get Rob Manfred out.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
It might be possible that perhaps StatCast mismeasured a 680-foot home run. But if not, let's definitely trash the commissioner, Rob Manfred. Brad Heller, do we have a trash from the dessert coordinator this morning?
Oh, we do. A certain furniture home decor company here in Manhattan worked with one of their interior designers to order a desk because it's in a New York City apartment, you can imagine, to try and find the right specifications for a desk. Found one, not just your regular desk, but one that's got one of those shelves on top, a ladder desk, whatever you call it. So the specific instructions were to deliver it in boxes and have them put it together here in the apartment. Well, it comes on Friday. They knock on the door. The delivery guy says, hey, we have your desk, but we can't fit it in the elevator. Well, why can't you fit the boxes in the elevator? Oh, well, we built it at the facility and brought it over in the truck. So, but wait a minute. That wasn't the instructions. He goes, oh, no one told us otherwise. So it's in the truck and it's all built, but we can't get it upstairs. With all the insurance requirements you need to have delivery people come in, there was no way to fix it, so they had to take it back to the facility, and you have to go through the whole process again. We emailed the woman, the designer that set things up, said, hey, didn't we say it was going to be in boxes and not made and not put together before it came to the apartment? And her response was, gosh, that's never happened before. Sorry about that. Reach out to customer service. Let me know how it goes. Are you kidding me?
Trash them.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
So when are you getting a desk now?
Supposed to come this Friday, hopefully in boxes. You know the trouble I've had trying to get the acoustics right in this apartment. So this is supposed to help that, but it's dragging out the process a little more than it needs to be.
Oh, my gosh, that's brutal. All right. Well, up to my trash. I'm trashing something that has been labeled the oopsie. Can we please play the clip of this from last week's PGP?
It's we all know it's coming, and it's going to be a nightmare when it's here.
Yep. DA, I got to run real 1 second. I got an oopsie.
What? What does that mean? I got an oopsie. A disgusting human being. That is from last week's PGP. I'm having a conversation with Mraz. And in the middle of the conversation, he says, I got to go, I have an oopsie, and throws down the headset. Do you know how unbelievably embarrassing that would be for most people to deal with? And yet, here's Mraz, who just kind of passes it off as, yeah, I'm on a juice cleanse. It's just what happens. When you are the person having a conversation with somebody and they just flee because they have a, quote, oopsie, you also, by proxy, feel disgusting. You feel like you have been part of a crime. You feel like you have taken part in some gory type of incident. Mraz had the, quote, oopsie, and then had to have his mother-in-law throw him down new underwear and a towel down the stairs.
She had to thumb through my underwear drawer, DA.
He then did side B with Bogish without pants on. This is what we were all roped into. You know, it's one thing to have an oopsie on your own time. It's one thing to have an oopsie away from everybody else. It's also one thing to have an oopsie and not tell anybody about it so that we don't have to relive the horror. But you brought all of us into this unwittingly. And I didn't sign up for being part of an oopsie. And neither did Bogish sign up for being part of a pantsless side B. So let's just say this. Yeah. Stop playing Winnie the Pooh. Stop playing Juice Cleanse.
put on pants and don't wrap us into your bodily bowel adventures. We don't want to be part of that. Trash Moraz.
Ooh, I don't even. And I got an oopsie.
Total Wasteoid.
It's really real, and I'm going to actually do old school Moraz here and point the finger. Uh-huh. It's really Peter Schwartz's fault.
Oh, really? Wow. Wow. Because didn't see you going there.
Had Peter not been a constant topic for us, we would have wrapped Side A the way we normally wrap Side A. We would have done the movies, done a little extra content. I counted. We went a good 8 minutes longer on Side A than we usually do. And my body, I think, internally was clicking, knew how long we'd go with Side A. It's kind of like when you're driving home and you have to go to the bathroom. All of a sudden, you turn two blocks closer. Your body starts doing the race. It knew how much time we usually do on Side A. You asked too many follow-ups on a Peter Schwartz question. I had to stand up. I was trying to be as polite as possible because I didn't want to interrupt. I knew I was trying to be professional.
Wow, nice. And really it came. Polite, really professional.
It came. And then I thought I did the most professional thing. I did not screw over Pete or Billy and have them have to stay longer. Instead, I said, forget showering right now. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to do Side B bottomless with Bogus because that's how dedicated I am to the craft. So it's all Pete Schwartz's fault. And in the end, I showed I was a good employee.
Hi. So I like how you're like, I did them a solid. I didn't ask them to clean my bottom. Yeah.
That was the only solid I did that day.
Disgusting. Just so disgusting. And Moraz is not out of the woods yet. I've had multiple listeners suggest that he should be up for punishment since the last time he belched on the PGP, he was suspended for 2 episodes. This was an oopsie on the PGP. Thankfully, we couldn't hear it. But it does beg the question, does Moraz face more discipline? I believe there might be a trial of his peers to decide whether Moraz faces discipline for his latest indiscretion on the PGP. Last week's PGP is just, there's never been another one like it, and I hope there's never another one like it ever again. And as
we'll
Bogus said,
this week.
You know, you came on Side B and you're like, you told Bogus what happened, you know, and you had prefaced it as, well, something really bad just happened. And Bogus is bracing for the worst. Like, something happened to one of your family members, something happened, you know, that was really critical. And you were like, I had an oopsie. And you could hear the frustration and disgust when Bogus is like, that's the awful thing that happened. That's why are you so proud of this? You know, Bogus was disgusted by your tact last week.
It's not proud. It's both, I'm mortified in the moment. How would you guys feel if your mother-in-law was over watching your child and you can't escape upstairs because obviously you now don't have pants on and you have to text this woman, who's your mother-in-law, to go thumb through your underwear drawer and throw you a fresh pair of drawers? Do you know how mortifying that is? But I also understand the instinct in me as an entertainer that, you know what, this also is funny as well, so I need to own it a little bit.
As an entertainer. What are you? King Jackie, of Pop over there?
Jackie Gleason?
As an entertainer. Sammy Pop Davis Pat. Jr. over there. The king of all media. As an entertainer.
Start singing the Candyman next.
As an entertainer. You know, I realize my responsibilities as an entertainer to make sure that the audience is engaged. As I finish up my show in Vegas.
I have a residency.
Danny Gans, an entertainer.
Celine Dion and Moraz.
Yeah. When we come back here on the DA show, did a Bulls rookie just cost himself a job? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I am the entertainer, and I know just where I stand. Another serenader and another long-haired band. Today I am your champion. I may have won your hearts, but I know the game, you forget my name, and I won't be here in another year if I don't stay on the charts.
Moraz, the entertainer. The entertainer of a decade. Opening up in Las Vegas Once pandemic closes, you can go get your tickets now. Top Hat, Kane, regular Fred Astaire over there. The Entertainer. The man that has an oopsie in the middle of talking about Peter Schwartz's foul ball collection. That's the Entertainer. The guy best known for his football dips every Friday that involve more cheese and more condiments than ever. That's the Entertainer.
Ooh.
The guy that turns plum purple yelling about Pat Shurmur. That's your Entertainer. You know him well.
10 points!
A man of so many talents.
6 years! A cow?
The guy whose knowledge about the animal kingdom stopped at second grade. The Entertainer.
A real moose? Anus.
The guy whose very basic grasp on American history completely eludes him. The Entertainer.
Au jus.
It's Mraz. Jazz hands. As fireworks explode behind him, there's a giant J-Lo screen. It's the Entertainer.
Turn around, above your mother.
He will sing Stanley Cup theme songs.
C'est la vie.
The Entertainer. Mraz just called himself the Entertainer. Oh, my goodness. The man known to choke on a pretzel during the radio show. The Entertainer. You know him as the Entertainer. He will entertain the masses without pants on after he laid an oopsie.
For my own cheese.
Entertain.
From the window to the wall. <Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba>.
He's astounding the masses on a nightly basis.
It's a hot candy!
As he wears his 14th straight New York Giants jersey stained by a different mustard flavor.
Turn around, what a lyric. Hang with your brother.
The Entertainer.
I am fat!
Witness the ever-expanding waistline. A man who is now 107 pounds away from his intended weight.
The Entertainer. Have a weird waist. I liked Michelangelo.
You've heard of the bearded woman. Now see the weirded waist. It's Mraz, the Entertainer.
I have a weird waist.
Known as the Blob from the signature Blob's Bar. He's the Entertainer.
It clears it. The Blob.
He puts the buffoon in the Year of the Buffoon montage.
It's electric.
The Entertainer.
Key Lardo, Key Lomo, ooh, my pretty mama to Bahama, my mama.
Oh, oh. Oh, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Quick pivot, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. So I had this story all built about this Bulls rookie who was a second-round draft pick who calls out his head coach and says, I don't really like him, and I'm wondering if this guy's going to be without a job once we have the NBA restart come around for the Bulls, who are obviously terrible. But we'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour, because right now I've spent most of this segment just talking about Mraz as the entertainer. That's the entertainer's music to exit stage left here. So when we come back here on the DA show, we will talk about college football, which has been saved by human analysis. We'll tell you how coming up here next. And that story about the Bulls rookie probably speaking out of turn. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.